Well, is it wise to decide to retire at the last minute? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, if you've got questions, I have answers for you, or maybe at least just opinions, one or the other. Regardless, we can help you out with any of the financial questions that you might have. A couple ways to do so. The first one is to go to prudentmoney.com and click through the Ask Bob section to the Ask Bob section and send a question in. I will get that answered for you. That's how the vast majority of question and answers go, is through the website or at info@prudentmoney.com. The second thing you can do is you'll notice that I have a calendar on the page there. And if you want to sign up for some time to talk over the phone, because maybe it's a question that can't really, it's got a lot of moving parts, a lot of a little bit more difficulties in just asking a question and getting an answer. So we have to talk through a few side issues first. You can always sign up for a time, and we'll do a phone call that won't take that much time. And of course, there's no cost to that. This is just our way of bringing you resources so that you can get your questions answered, all at prudentmoney.com. I got to tell you that yesterday I witnessed something that really kind of left me scratching my head. We talked the entire show about the stock market and how it's just acting very strangely. Now, not that it's strange that the market's going up, but it's just events leading to this market going up and the things that have been happening. And it's almost like there is no risk. There is no potential risk, and the risk that there is, it's no big deal. And I would suggest that it's entering into a dangerous period, that investment bubbles, and this shouldn't be, because it shouldn't be anywhere near being an investment bubble. I know the artificial intelligence stocks and that whole argument, but it's just not been enough time. But they're starting to believe that if a problem comes about, the Fed is looking at it from the standpoint of too much to lose. They're going to fix it by printing money and taking care of the problem. And that's a dangerous assumption to be making. But I believe it was done right before our very eyes. In fact, what I'm about to tell you, you probably didn't read about, unless you just happen to really be digging in the financial sections of the Wall Street Journal or online or any other publication that you go to or website you go to get your information. There's a bank called New York Community Bank. And this bank announced yesterday that it lost 7% of its deposits in the last 30 days. 7%, so that comes to the bank had on 30 days prior had 30 days prior had 83 billion, and now due to deposits being withdrawn, they're down to 77 billion. Now, here's typically what happens when, and we saw this last year with Signature Bank. I can name two of them. First, there was three banks that went down last year. And here's the way that a company or a bank, whomever, brings bad news to the marketplace. They spin it. They let a little bit out, then they let a little bit more out, and they take enough time to talk investors through it, talk Wall Street through it, kind of get people to step off the ledge a little bit, and get so close to jumping out of a window, and everything's going to be just fine. And they do that. They buy time until they get to a point to where they can make it look like the problem has been solved, when it's probably, just like everything else in this country, just they kick the can down the road and making it a problem for a later time. Then there are the companies, banks, institutions that want to do that, and they find they can't because the amount of information is that's bad information that they need to disclose to the market is much bigger, and there's more of it, and it's not too pretty negative information. So that's where New York Community Bank found themselves. And then you get in that situation where you put it off, then you get to that point where you've got so much information, and there's legal issues here as well, but I'm kind of oversimplifying it, but just trying to give you an idea that they have to release a lot of bad information at once, and which they did in really two chunks. New York Community Bank said that they had lost, I can't remember what the number was. I don't have it right in front of me, but they lost quite a bit of money. We'll leave it at that. And it was a loss that Wall Street was not expecting. So, you know, in a better time, New York Community Bank would have released some information and kind of warned Wall Street, hey, we got this quarterly loss coming up and nobody knows about it. So that was just a surprise hit. The bank dropped. But this wasn't a situation where this first bit of news that came out, it wasn't a situation where the markets were rattled and all of a sudden thinking, oh, whether the bank is going under. Then information came out, a bunch of information came out yesterday. And this, in between the two times where they announced bad news, you had credit rating services slashing the credit ratings of the debt that the bank was holding, which that's not a good sign. So they announced yesterday some more bad news of the losses, and then New York Community Bank, they halted the stock because the stock had already gone down 42%. Now listen to this. Yesterday, the stock went up as high as $4.40, as low as $1.70, and finished at $3.36. Pretty amazing. Now keep in mind, they lost roughly $5 billion in 30 days. The news that came out that sent the stock going way back up, because some people made some real big money on that, jumping in there and buying at the bottom of that one-day slide, big major decline. They came out and said that they have secured $1 billion in funding. Now, I don't know about you. I can do the math. They lost $5 billion in a 30-day period. They've got their credit ratings are being slashed on all their debt. And there's a lot of, I mean, for now, the stock price is stable. It's going back up. But $1 billion, is that really enough to sustain a bank like that? So I think what we're seeing is the market is just saying, we believe that the Fed will have it under control, and that when these liquidity problems come up where a company or a bank desperately needs money, the Fed will take care of them. That is a dangerous belief for the markets to be carrying. But it's also a little bit of a shift. But I get where it comes from, because this has happened so many times in the past. And the irony is, New York Community Bank actually bought up some of the assets of failed Signature Bank from last year, putting them at $100 billion plus net worth of the bank, which is $100 billion, making them one of the bigger regional banks. Now, the information, and maybe I didn't dig hard enough, there's one article that tied the losses and tied the problems to their commercial lending, which would be, you know, we've been talking about it, commercial buildings that are sitting there empty, not empty, it's a little over exaggeration, but sitting there with, you know, 20, 25, 30% of the occupants, and you've got people that are losing so much, investors losing so much money on banks, are giving them back to the bank. In fact, the building that I'm in, that I've been in for a long time, has went into default, and a bank owns it now. So we're just starting to see, and I think that we're on the fringes of this. So it's going to be interesting to see, and I think a risk that you want to keep on your radar and make sure that you are not missing something. Soon enough, it'll be all of a sudden. We'll get information and see a bank dive, and then the news will start coming out. But like I said, I thought we were on the verge of that yesterday, and so kind of shocked me a little bit. But I think the market is in that mode of, hey, no big deal. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. We are up against a break. Stick around. I'll be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse, word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
This is Rob Randall, your host and teacher of the Invisible War radio program. The Invisible War is the study of God's Word on how to walk in Christ's victory in the spiritual battles we face against the powers of darkness. Join me every Sunday morning at 9, right here on KDKR and KYJC in Commerce, your station for life.
Communion is observed in various ways by Christians all around the world. But what exactly is the Lord's Supper, according to Scripture? Friday on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares walks us through the significance of communion and compares the various church traditions surrounding this sacred ordinance. Join us for an enlightening edition of Ask Pastor Mike, Friday on Focal Point.
Focal Point, weekday mornings at 8:30. Here on Bible School Radio, KDKR.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, let's talk a little bit about retirement. You may be driving in your car or sitting at your desk listening to us online or wherever you listen to the radio show in real time or podcast, and you may be thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great just to retire tomorrow? Well, that might be a little too soon to pull it all together, but I'm seeing more and more people come into my office and say, I need a game plan. I want to retire in 2 months, 1 month, 6 months, 1 year. And generally speaking, I recommend you start to have these conversations and start to think about these conversations, you know, 5 years out from the date that you want to retire. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean by any stretch that it's a bad idea to retire early, earlier than you thought, or make an impulsive decision to retire early, and you might be 3 or 4 months out. The problem is that people make the assumption that they can do it without confirming that to be true, without putting together a solid game plan, just as if you were 5 years out, even in you're only 3 months out or wherever you are, to make sure that it's good. And it also means that you need to watch the numbers a lot more closely, way more, be more detailed with your budgets and your spending plans and that kind of thing. So what you see from one side of the spectrum to the other, you see an impulsive decision. Then you also see a overthink it position. And to where I've been through the planning process with people before, that we've gone from A to Z on, looked at all the numbers, everything that possibly could happen, had a solid plan, cut as much risk as humanly possible from all angles out of the plan, and they still didn't know if they could go through with it. Just, you don't want to overthink it, but you don't want to be necessarily impulsive and make these two mistakes. The first one is being impulsive by retiring without and then planning. I've had people tell me, yeah, you know, I feel pretty good about retiring and that it's going to work out. Right now, I'm just way too busy to do the numbers and do the plan. We'll do all that after I retire. That is a very, very risky move, one that I wouldn't suggest that you make. Still, could be pulled off, but you had better have a lot of resources in the event that you misjudged a few things. The second is somewhat like not having a plan, but having a incomplete plan. So you sit down and you get a global look, which there's nothing wrong with a global look, do it all the time, but I wouldn't take a global look and apply that as to if that is the plan for retirement. You want to be able to once again vet out what you plan for globally by looking at the details, making sure the details add up, making sure that you do a risk evaluation of everything that you've got in your financial plan to make sure that you're not going to run into a surprise or a problem. In fact, I would even suggest if you find yourself in a situation where you don't have a lot of time, I would at least take a couple of days off, and maybe a Thursday and a Friday off, and then you've got the weekend. In fact, most people, I find that most people are going to retire with vacation that they've earned but they didn't use. So probably have some vacation sitting there. Take a couple of days off, get with your spouse, get with your financial advisor, and really dedicate that 4 days or so to a lot of prayer, a lot of planning, and to where you can come up with a solid game plan. It's not that it's impossible to do. It's just that I think that you have to be more intentional about monitoring and controlling emotions, because it's real. You're going to do this, and you may even find yourself vacillating back and forth, going, I don't know if I can do this or not. With a solid plan, you know if you can or if you can't. So if you're wanting to retire in the next year, you've got to first look at, and we just talked about it, but I'll bring it back up again, evaluate the risks that you're taking in all areas of your financial life, all areas, and make sure that you're comfortable with that risk. Of course, I'm mainly talking about investment risk, but you know, if you don't have a solid identity theft plan, you need to have that in your list of things to check the box and make sure that you have implemented. Expenses, of course, this is the biggest one, and the one that generally puts up the brick wall and stops the whole process. There's two types of expense spending plans that I get. I get the spending plan that it covers only about 40% of the actual expenses that a person has, versus one that micromanages it down to the penny. I think that you want to have a realistic expense plan that covers everything, from the money that you're going to spend on your grandson's Christmas present and birthday present, down to how you're going to handle that summer vacation that you're thinking about taking, and really going, taking, slowing down. And you, the number that you don't have the luxury of getting wrong is the expenses. And maybe that's why people get just kind of stop in their tracks, because they don't want to know. But I can almost, here's the thing, and an advisor should be able to do this. I can sit down on a global basis and tell you pretty quick if you're going to be okay or cutting it close. And I can also tell you if we can get there in a couple of days as far as planning and really figuring out what that expense is. I mean, if you're starting really late, it comes down to, you know, getting the American Express bills out and going through 12 months worth of data, or preferably 24 months worth of data, and just track where you spent money, and come up with categories, and then you can see right there, this is, and hopefully there won't be a whole lot of difference between the 2 years, that you can see that a trend has been established. But that's the toughest part of it, but the most important part of it. Social Security is very, very important, and I'll tell you, the discussions that I've had, I like to have very global discussions on Social Security and come up with what we think is going to happen. And then I always suggest going to the Social Security office or setting up a conference call with them and verifying that that's the case. And you also don't want to get the process started on time so that you don't have a delay in getting your Social Security payments. It's always amazing to me what the total amount that you can get from Social Security. And most people that we run these analysis on, they look at that and they go, I can't believe Social Security is paying that much. Of course, it does help if you wait till retirement age, which is 67 for most people, between 67 and 68, and making sure that you put that number in there as well. Number four is the pensions and annuities. If you have payment income-driven plans, it's going to pay you a monthly income. You want to have those numbers and make sure that you've got that included. How much money can you take off of investments? That's an important one. Very important to see how much money that you can conservatively, without taking a lot of risk, take as a withdrawal each month off of your investments. Maybe there's some bonuses that you have earned, but if you're not employed on the day that they give them out, you don't get it. You certainly want to wait for any bonuses that are due to you and that you're going to get paid on that. So you might want to check and make sure that you're not due for, you know, for an outstanding bonus. Of course, you got to ask the right people that. You probably don't want to go ask your boss that. The next thing that you want to look at is estate planning. That could be started, and that could be taken beyond retirement and figured out. That's not as critical as a piece, but it is a critical piece, because you're banking on nothing's going to happen to you, but you want to make sure that your family is totally protected from an estate planning standpoint, where you're looking at transferring assets from one generation to another generation. And of course, it goes way beyond that, the legalities of estate planning. There's just so much to consider and look at, but that is something I would start, but you can kind of take time doing that. It's also one of those things that I see people procrastinate with, and I would highly encourage you not to procrastinate, but to be serious and intentional about getting that done. Then there's always, how much cash do you have on hand, and where are you holding that cash? If you have a good bit of cash, $70,000-$80,000, it's sitting in the bank account, probably not the best place for it to be when you have high yield money market funds paying close to 5%. So you need to figure out where you're going to be holding cash, how much. And this is a real part of the financial plan, because you want to make sure that you have enough cash to cover any expenses and any emergencies, that kind of thing. And then you may just have excess cash you just want to keep as an extended emergency account. Finally, is it important to you to get a part-time job? For some people, they can't see themselves retiring and just looking for things to do. Of course, most people that I know who've retired are not looking for things to do. They're busy. But start considering, you know, maybe I always wanted to work at a car dealership and never could afford to before, but now I could. Any extra income that could come in would definitely help. But what you're trying to do, once again, is build a scenario and make sure that you are confidently entering into retirement with a game plan and that you have risk managed and contained and mitigated and you are in good shape. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.